heart in prayer. Truly, here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Speak what is true. I thank you for your presence, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are about the business of setting people free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm not all fancy, and I don't have all that stuff that you can look up there and follow. But I am going to be doing a lot of scriptures if you want to have your Bible out. And you can say a prayer for me that the frogs, or as Bob says, the amphibians, will stay out of my throat. Because allergies are running free. Allergies are running free, and they're really not welcome to run in me, but apparently they are anyway. So I'm just going to start with some verses from Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 10. Follow with me if you want to. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He had me pass among them all around, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. Then he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord God, you yourself know. Again he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, You dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. Behold, I'm going to make breath enter you so that you may come to life. And I will attach tendons to you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you so that you may come to life and know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a loud noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, tendons were on the bones, and the flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, The Lord God says this, Come from the four winds, breath, and breathe on these slain so that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them. The breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. I can tell that I need to put technology away and use my paper. The breath of God, Yahweh. Yahweh, breath of God, Holy Spirit. I believe that the Lord has a message about bringing new life to us. He's inviting us into the great dance with our beautiful triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So I'm going to tell you where this message came from. Actually, you know, God speaks in pictures sometimes, right? Visions. And that's what happened to me. It gave me a vision that about a month ago that has stirred in my heart ever since. To set the scene, a couple months ago, I felt called to go to this retreat over East River in Swan Lake. And I didn't really know why. But I just felt really pulled there. But the deal is, I was in a really spiritually weary place. Anyone relate? Where you're just tired. I'm just tired. It had been an exhausting year in a lot of ways. And I thought, okay, Lord, maybe I'll just go there and rest. But whatever it is, whatever reason that you're drawing me there, teach me what you want me to know and show me how to respond to that. You know, sometimes you go to retreats and there's a lot of kind of hustle and bustle and activity and all that kind of stuff. This was not like that. This was quiet. It's great teaching. We had time to just be quiet and listen to the Lord. And I needed that. I needed that. So the last morning that we were there on a Sunday morning, we were all just worshiping, and the worship was sweet. And the Lord gave me probably the most beautiful picture I've ever seen in my life. And I don't really know how to put it into words where you can see what I saw, but I'm going to give it my best shot. So there were probably about 40 some women there. And as we were worshiping, I saw them all as a mosaic. They're all different sizes, different colors, different flavors, different whatever, different life. A mosaic. And if you've seen a mosaic, you know that they're just pieces, right? Broken pottery. They're just pieces. But when they're put together, it's something beautiful. When we were in Spain a few years ago, backpacking across, we saw lots of these big buildings, mostly cathedrals, but other ones too, where they would have mosaics. Absolutely beautiful. So I saw the mosaic, and then it began to move like a kaleidoscope. Everyone's keeping their same identity, their same. Nothing changed about the individual pieces, except they were moving together. They were moving together, breath of God, Holy Spirit breathing on them. And then they began to dance. Oh, and Connie, I thought of you. They began to dance. And they were in synchrony with each other. They kept their own identities, but they were moving in the flow of the Spirit. And this beautiful symphonic music came out. It was breathtaking. It still brings tears to my eyes. Still brings tears to my eyes. And I think out of that, the Lord is speaking to us about three distinct areas. Identity. How he sees us. That's our identity. We're separate, yet we're together. Unity. Flowing with the Holy Spirit. Dancing the great dance with our triune God. Together. Together. And surrender. It's beautiful because each of the pieces were surrendered. They were surrendered. The same flowing in the Holy Spirit. And I just wish you could see it. It's like this, flowing and twirling and dancing. Beautiful. And nobody was competing with each other. And nobody was comparing themselves to someone else. They were just flowing. Freedom of Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you a question. How do you see yourself? When you sit back and look at yourself, what do you see? Do you see someone who is not quite adequate? Not good enough or smart enough? Can't dance like Connie. I'm not an artist like Sandra. I'm not a musician like Bob. How do you see yourself? Not quite measuring up? Or maybe do you see yourself as your past? Maybe foolish mistakes or whatever that somehow in your mind disqualifies you from being a part of the great dance. This is a side note, it's not even in my message, but I think somebody needs to hear this. You know, we all have things in our past that we wish we wouldn't have done, right? Like, we ate a whole box of stupid and that's exactly what came out. And we can get caught up in guilt and shame over that, right? And this happened a while ago, but I was in that place thinking, oh, Lord, I cannot believe, you know. And he said, listen. He said, you don't judge your 16, 17, 18, 21-year-old self through 70-year-old eyes. you fall into that comparison thing. I'm not as good as whoever over there. I'm going to tell you something. Comparison is a killer. It's a lethal weapon in the hands of the enemy. It robs us of who we are. Robs us of who we are. Tends to make us get a critical spirit of ourselves and others. Causes all kinds of divisiveness. Don't we see it in the world? All you have to do is look at political ads to know about divisiveness. Oh, you know? But it's in the body, and it should not be. It should not be. We're supposed to be flowing together in the spirit. You know, the Bible says a lot about divisiveness. Listen to this. This is Ephesians 4, 3 through 6 out of the Passion Translation. Be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you in the bonds of peace, being one body and one spirit as you were called into the same glorious hope of divine destiny. For the Lord God is one, and so are we, and we share in one faith, one baptism, one Father, and He is the perfect Father who leads us all, works through all, and lives in us all, flowing in the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 2:23 says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. We're not all cut from the same cloth. Yay! Where would the mosaic be? Where would the kaleidoscope be? Where would the stained glass be? 1 Corinthians 1:10 in the Passion. I urge you, my brothers and sisters, for the sake of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to agree to live in unity with one another and put to rest any division that attempts to tear you apart. Be restored as one unified body, living in perfect harmony. Form a consistent choreography among yourselves, having a common perspective with shared values. You know, people have different doctrinal differences and, you know, whatever. So what? So what? If Jesus is King and Lord, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. So in contrast to that divisive kind of stuff, comparing stuff, do you see yourself as beloved? The apple of His eye? A treasure in earthen vessel? Do you see yourself as delightful? A new creation? These are just a few of the things that the Lord says about you. He says much more. He created each one of us intentionally, purposefully, delightfully. Delightfully. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. You are image bearers of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It doesn't get any better than that. Psalm 139, 13 and 14. For you created my innermost parts. You wove me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you because I am awesomely or fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 18 says He delights in you. And Zephaniah says He rejoices over you with loud singing. God sees beauty before we do. Sometimes we look at ourselves and just see brokenness, the unfinished parts, all the scattered pieces, sharp edges, different colors, right? But God looks at those fragments and sees something breathtaking. Those buildings that got over in Spain, breathtaking, stained glass. Who's ever seen the Notre Dame? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Okay? We see lumps of clay and God sees a thing of beauty. Isaiah 64:8. But now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are potter. And all of us are the work of your hand. And nobody is a mistake. And nobody is flawed. And nobody isn't good enough. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen containers so that the extraordinary greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. He is constantly working within us and around us, changing and creating this treasure in earthen vessel. Do you feel like a treasure? You ever heard of the Japanese art form kintsugi? They take old pieces of pottery that are broken, and they, for lack of a better word, solder it back together with gold. And those pieces of pottery tell a story. You know what? Your life tells a story too. The broken parts are part of the story that make you whole now. They make you whole. And they give you a little character while they're at it, right? 1 Corinthians 12. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them each one just as he determines. You are beloved. You are beloved. You are created on purpose with a purpose. And he puts us all together to create something beautiful. Unity and flowing with the Spirit. The vision was moving and changing, even though each person kept their identity. Kaleidoscopes have movement. Dance has movement. Music has movement, right? We're people who are moved by things, right? Our hearts have movement. We aren't designed to remain static and stagnant. That's where complacency comes in. It's where weariness comes in. And we can all relate to being weary, right? Who can say, I've never felt that place? And you know, desert times come in too. But you know what? He's moving there. He's moving there as well. Hosea 2:14 says, therefore, behold, I will lure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. That's movement. And that can feel like a dark and lonely place, but it's still movement. There are things going on. Who's been in a desert? Who loved it? Who looks back and sees something that is so worth it. So worth it. You know, baby Christians sometimes pray bold things, and I did. I asked the Lord one time to take me to the desert. I was new. I had no idea what I was asking. No idea. It was the toughest time of my life, and it lasted for decades. It lasted for decades. I wouldn't trade what I learned. Not for a moment, because God moves. He breathes Yahweh in the desert. Yahweh in the desert. Life comes when Holy Spirit breathes. People move, whether it was the children of Israel moving when the flame of fire or the cloud, or it was Pentecost, when Holy Spirit fell and 3,000 people got saved right there. Boom. Genesis 1:2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Holy Spirit, Yahweh. And the man became a living being. I believe Holy Spirit, obviously, When you have the Lord, you have Holy Spirit, right? But I believe Holy Spirit is hovering over each one of us and hovering over the church and saying, will you come and dance with me? Will you come and dance with me? This is more. This is more than accepting the Lord. He's calling us to something deeper. Something I yearn to see Holy Spirit loosed. And you know what? He's not into confinement. He's not into confinement. Whom the Spirit of the Lord sets free is free indeed. Right? I believe he's calling us into a level of trust that we've never known before. I believe he's calling us to jump into the deep end. Last week, Parker jumped into the deep end. Holy Spirit moved on him, and he came up here and gave a word. That's jumping into the deep end. When these little children are dancing up here in the Spirit, that's jumping in the deep end. They don't care what anybody thinks. When Holy Spirit says, come to the great dance, how can we say no to that? How can we say no to that? And as each one says yes, that person grows in strength. And the body, the whole body grows in strength as we move in the Spirit. He's still breathing Holy Spirit life into us. Hang on a minute. Allergy calls. That must be the amphibians trying to get out, Bob. Listen, when Holy Spirit comes around, things happen, and it's always good. Acts 2, 43 and 44, the Passion. Listen to this. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone. Holy awe. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. That's what happens when Holy Spirit is allowed to do what Holy Spirit wants to do. He's not about this rigid little box. All the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had, moving and flowing in Holy Spirit. Sometimes we get kind of comfortable standing still spiritually, right? We settle into a routine. You know, that's kind of where I was before I went to that retreat. It was like, okay, I get up in the morning and I have my devotions and I'm praying in the Spirit and all that. But it was like I was checking boxes. Anyone ever been in that place? If you don't say yes, you're lying, okay? We can get into that place. Or maybe anyone prayed for something for years and years and years and didn't get an answer. And you know God can, but you don't know if he will or not, right? And we get tired. Who can relate to that? We just get tired. And we stop maybe expecting him to move. And I know in my head he's moving in those times, but my heart doesn't feel it still. He says, come to the dance. Come to the dance. You know, each one of us has our own personal relationship with the Lord. No, just like there are no two people who are exactly alike, we don't relate to him in the same way. That's okay. Be you. Be authentic and real and you, because he loves that. That's exactly the way he created you. And he put you with other people to move with the Holy Spirit. Dry bones stood up, right? David danced, right? The disciples left everything and followed Jesus. He's calling us out of our comfort zone. He's calling us out of our weariness to dance in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit. And if you don't have a prayer language, now, no better time than now to get one, right? Because Spirit moves then. Want to hear a story? Okay, I'll tell you a story. I had never heard of prayer language or sing in the Spirit or pray in the Spirit. Never heard that. But I was hungry. I was a seeker, probably 20 years old, 19, 20 in there. And I wouldn't have called it witnessing at that time, but now I know. There was a gal that I worked with who spoke Jesus to me all the time. And she told me about these prayer meetings. Well, I never heard of a prayer meeting, but I thought, must be okay, you know. So I went, and there was a room full of people in the basement of this church, and they were worshiping the Lord. I grew up in church, but I never witnessed anything like that before. And they were singing in the Spirit, a language that I never heard before. And there was part of me that thought, whoa, this is weird. But there was a part of me that was drawn to that like a moth to the fire. I was so moved. And it sparked in me a deeper hunger than anything I'd ever known before. That whatever this is, I want it. Whatever these people have, I want it. If you don't know how to pray, the Lord's got that covered too. Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. He's got you covered. When we sing together in the Spirit, it's like angels are joining the chorus. When I see Connie and those little kids, other adults dancing up here, it makes my heart, it just moves something in my heart. That's freedom in the Spirit. That's moving with Holy Spirit. It's worshipful and it's beautiful and it's free. Spirit brings life to whatever he touches. Yahweh, breath of God. Right? But to join in the dance requires surrender. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts and lean not on your own understanding, right? In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Surrender. Scary, isn't it? Jump in the deep end. The dancers in the vision weren't fighting with each other. They weren't, some of them hanging back saying, well, I can't do that. They were moving beautifully together because they were yielded. They were yielded. You can't lead and follow at the same time, can you? There's beauty in surrender. Is it scary? Yes, but nothing greater than to jump into the arms of the living God, right? Nothing greater. So what's stopping us? What's stopping me? Got some questions to just throw out. I ask me this. Ask yourself too. Where have I become resistant or rigid or complacent? So structured that I don't allow Holy Spirit to move? Have I become that way anywhere in my life? Am I moving with Holy Spirit, resisting him, or just hanging out? Am I willing to trust his leading, even when I don't fully understand it? Here's one. Do I really believe he wants to move in me and through me? Beauty isn't in one dancer dancing alone. The beauty is in everyone moving together. His own beautiful creations moving in sync. He's the orchestra director. He's the choreographer. All we have to do is what he says. Just move. Just let him move us. Okay? Dare to go deeper. Jump in the deep end. We're different people with different personalities. But we're called to move together. You are the beloved. You are the beloved. God sees something beautiful. I hadn't planned this until this morning. But anyone familiar with Henry Nouwen? Yeah. I want to read something to you. This is from Life of the Beloved. Listen to this. Just wait, shut your eyes and listen to this. Like the Lord is speaking this to you. I have called you by name from the very beginning. You are mine and I am yours. You are my beloved. On you my favor rests. I have molded you in the depths of the earth and knitted you together in your mother's womb. I have carved you in the palms of my hand and hidden you in the shadows of my embrace. I look at you with infinite tenderness and care for you, with a care more intimate than that of a mother for her child. I have counted every hair on your head and guided your every step. Wherever you go, I go with you, and wherever you rest, I keep watch. I will give you food that will satisfy all your hunger and drink that will quench all your thirst, living waters. I will not hide my face from you. You know me as your own, and I know you as my own. You belong to me. I am your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your lover, and your spouse, and yes, even your child. Wherever you are, I will be. Nothing will separate us. We are one. Can you not join the dance with that love? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the invitation. I thank you for the invitation to the dance, Lord. We say yes. Remove from us, Lord, anything that is resisting. Any of us that has grown complacent. Any of us are just afraid that you won't hear. Lord, we surrender. We surrender in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Mary. That was great. You know, the greatest adventure that we can have in our entire lives, the greatest adventure on the planet, is to walk with the Holy Spirit and follow where he leads. And sometimes when we're having classes, people will come up and they'll say, it's okay, it's all right. People will come up and they'll say, but what if I get it wrong? What if I think the Holy Spirit's leading me this way and it's wrong? And so maybe if you're thinking that, I want to share something the Lord talked to me about one time. I had given a prophetic word that I felt like the Lord wanted me to give. And then afterwards, I was like, I don't know if I said that right. You know, maybe I didn't word that exactly the way you wanted me to, Lord. I'm really sorry if I didn't. He said, Valerie, I want you to think about, this was when my kids were little, and he said, your son Micah's learning to walk, isn't he? And I'm like, yeah. He said, so when he walks and he falls down, and what do? Well, I help him get up. He said, do you say to him, bad baby, you did that wrong? He's like, of course not. And then he asked a question that is such a good question. He said, do you think you're a better parent than I am? Ouch, you know. God is such a loving father. And the Holy Spirit teaches us so gently. And we get to have so many amazing adventures with him if we'll just step out and do what we feel like he's leading us to do. If we're wrong, he's big enough to take care of it, right? He really is. And he's not going to be upset with us. He's going to wrap his arms around us and go, it's okay. Let me help you try again. That's how he works. Because he's a good, good father. He really is. Maybe you're here today and you don't have any experience with walking with Holy Spirit because you don't even have a relationship with the Lord yet. And if that's the case, we want to invite you to do that today. We have an amazing God. So often we've been taught that he's harsh, that he's legalistic, that he's looking for the thing we do wrong to punish us. But that's not who he is. He's a loving, loving parent who wants to be a part of your life and is there to help you whenever you fall down, to help you get back up, to wrap his arms around you, and to tell you that the way he has created you is more than enough. There's nothing wrong with the way you're created. Yes, we all stumble sometimes. We sometimes have made decisions that were not the best. Jesus took care of that for us, didn't he? Yeah. We don't have to pay for those. He already did. He's here to help us live the kind of life that we want. Because it's what he wants. Deep inside, our deepest desires are of the Father. That's the word desire means, of the Father. There's nobody who goes, I want to be a horrible person, right? Who he created us to be, each one of us, is someone amazing. And we only get there with him. He's a good dad. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your kindness, for your love, for your mercy, for your goodness, for your forgiveness, for your presence. We thank you that you not only sent your son to die for us, but you give us Holy Spirit to walk with us, to lead us into a great adventure. And so, Father, we just once again surrender, Lord. We thank you for your presence, and we ask you to help us. Give us courage where we need courage. Remind us of who you created us to be when we need to be reminded of that. And help us always remember that you truly are not just good, but you are love, God. You are love. Thank you, Father.